Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts, a podcast for anyone about everything, produced by 8 Beer Sampler for the internet consumption. I'm Max, with my partner, the Penguin.
How you doing?
And tonight, we start with a Max rant.
Baby, check this out, I've got something to
Department of Unintended Consequences. Most people don't realize that until the wrongly decided Paula Jones case, which was a civil case, it was illegal to sue the president. This has been true for the entire history of this country and went back to the divine right of kings. I know George Washington said we should not have a king in this country, and may the cool green earth bless his soul for that. But as a practical matter, you can't haul the president into court to testify in a civil case. Too much time wasted, and you could compromise his authority. The Paula Jones civil suit and the ensuing slice of the bologna so thin that an aardvark couldn't find it by Bill Clinton, some people call it lying, distracted the entire nation. Civil courts for presidents equals bad. Now, no less a liberal pair than Charles Schumer and Dianne Feinstein have voted to confirm a new attorney general who says he won't say that torture is torture in the case of waterboarding. And here's where it comes back to Paula Jones. Because the president could then be sued. Fear of lawsuits is now running the country right next to the idiot in chief. And is this too much to ask, really, to say that the United States is opposed to torture? No less a conservative than Ronald Reagan called the United States a shining city on a hill. Can we still claim that light for our own? Torture's no good. And suing the president, also no good.
So that's two no goods.
Yeah, so I guess it fails on the CSA Scaly thing.
It fails the CSA Scaly thing. We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Well, you know, that this waterboarding thing, to me, isn't that a great word? I mean, it's just... Yeah, I mean, it's just like... Do you remember standing in Mert's kitchen about 20 years ago, one evening, Thanksgiving time, and having a discussion? We were all standing around, and we were talking about the governmental language, and we said that they don't call it... They don't call it an airline or an airplane crash anymore. It's
an unscheduled
termination of flight.
Right.
You know, and that's, to me, that's what waterboarding is. It's a made-up word to kind of cover, because they said water torture, people would object. But it's only waterboarding, so it's not the same thing. It's not as bad.
It almost sounds like the thing that you do behind the boat when you go to the cottage in the summer.
Right. And I'm sure that for all those Republicans out there with their boats and their cottages and their docks and stuff, they probably think, well, that's exactly what it is. You know?
And they wouldn't mind waterboarding.
Yeah. Who wouldn't mind going out for a little ride on the boat?
Yeah. And let's drag Ted Kennedy behind it.
And if you get a little water on you, that's okay.
Right.
Water's good.
It's only simulated drowning. The fact is, the United States is...
Unscheduled termination of life.
There you go. The United States has been opposed to it for years. We've fought with other countries that do it. And now we're fighting to do it. And it can't be good for us. It's important to the United States to be the good guys. I really think so.
How much longer does Bush have in office? Maybe we should start a count.
There's a guy at work who has a little tag on his briefcase that he brings home with him every day that counts down by the second the amount of time he has left in his office. I can tell you at work within a matter of seconds just how much time is left.
Well,
we argue all the time over who hates him more.
Uh-huh. Booth Boy, right on his toes, has 437 days, 4 hours, 47 minutes, 40 seconds, 30 seconds, 20
great.
Seconds. I tell you.
437 days. You can do a lot of mischief 437 days.
Yeah, you're right, you can. And that's probably where we should be headed. I saw a thing on Dig recently that said that there are at least a couple people who are trying to push through the vice president's impeachment, and that they
you have
felt
to get them
they,
at the same time.
Right. Well, that's what they said. They thought they were going to put Bush on there too and go for both of them, sort of like a doubleheader.
Yeah. Well, there's no point in impeaching Bush if you put Cheney in charge, although arguably he's been in charge for the first 6 years.
Right.
But I do think Bush woke up one day and realized that he was president. And then he doesn't do everything Cheney tells him anymore.
You don't
but,
think so?
Between, no. No, but I think for the first 6 years, it was Cheney. You know, he just called the shots. George went to him and said, what do you think? And Cheney thought, well, what's the most evil thing I could possibly do? And then they did that. Now I think George is embarrassed. He's looking at his legacy, which I saw recently that he's down to either 31% or 33% approval rating, and he's trying to, you know, polish the apple a little bit, but
right,
it's
as many presidents try to do as their terms come to an end.
Right.
Yeah, I also saw another thing that said that that Bush's non-approval rating was the highest ever recorded. In terms
well,
of the president, they've been doing these polls.
I've heard that Nixon's was 65 or 67, and
yeah, but I heard George's, that if you that yeah that that Bush is past Nixon's.
He's past Nixon's negatives.
Yep.
Wow.
He has.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's well earned. I mean, at least Nixon. Kind of understood. Well, no, I can't say that. He did the China thing. Everybody gives him credit for the China thing, and that's fine. But it's not like he was good in foreign policy. He extended the war because he didn't want to be the president to lose a war.
Right.
Which, of course, is Johnson also.
Right.
So anyway, what do you think about making this cosmic connection? We ready to bring in tonight's guest, or...
Sure, I think so. I think that would be great. Well, let's just say a couple things about it first.
All right.
Last week we dialed up the dead and talked with Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, and had just a wonderful time. He was super. And I spent a lot of time this week talking to Booth Boy, and I said, you know, that talking to Twain is going to be tough to beat. Going to be really, really tough to beat. But if anybody can do it, it would be the boy in the booth. And he assures me that he's got a good one. He's got a
booth
good
boy
one coming
has
up.
Another guest, another
another
member of
another
the
super
dear
one.
Departed?
Yep. Well, no, I wouldn't call him dearly departed. I know who it is, but I'm not going to say because I want people to be able to take a guess as to who it might be when they hear his voice on the phone.
You think they'll be able to tell?
I think so. Go ahead.
I think people could tell Sam Clemens last week. But anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's time to make that call, Booth Boy.
Special guest, ladies and gentlemen, we're dialing up or cosmically ding.
Cosmically contacting.
Special guest. Hello, are you there? Cosmic Contact? Where is our guest?
Well, this phone call has to travel quite a distance, so.
Hi-ho!
And this would be
afternoon.
Our cosmic guest.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're not going to say your name because we wanted people to kind of guess as to who you might be.
Oh, they'll guess. Okay, here's a hint. time's fun when you're having flies.
And this would be Kermit the Frog. Welcome, Kermit. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're all right. We're sitting here, Max and the Penguin, chewing on things, trying to solve the world's problems. And we had a great guest last week, and we were hoping to get a different perspective on things. So we're here to talk to a frog today.
Well, you got the right frog.
Well, listen, let's start right. Let's go right for the the jugular here. You know, Kermit, a couple of weeks ago, there was this the huge wildfires down in Southern California. And I know that I'm sure that you have some comments about the wildlife and the situation that occurred there. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, we don't have lots of fire pad. It's pretty safe from fire. But in the woods, that could get pretty dangerous. I don't think it should be filled in houses by the forest.
So you don't think we should build houses by the forest? That's probably a smart thing not to do.
Yeah, but they're Californians, so they're not thinking so good.
So, Kermit, you're a big star, stage and screen, and also a big celebrity during the Thanksgiving Day parade. How do you celebrate Turkey Day?
Well, that's a busy day. It's pretty windy. Yeah. We're in a big truck over from Jersey. And they blow us up on 77th Street on Wednesday night. It's a big party.
So you're getting high, are you, the night before the parade?
Something like that, yeah. If you suck that much gas, you'd be pretty stoned yourself.
But then those people, they just kind of tie you up, too. That must not be a pleasant experience.
It's better than flying away.
Yeah, but isn't it better to live life without strings?
Yeah, definitely. It's not that easy being green.
It's not easy being green. Have another popover, Froggy.
Hey, I remember that one. Hey, that's a good one. There was a guy last year at the parade, really mean, about 66th Street and Broadway. And he had a sign in his apartment window, and it said, yeah. Frog legs for Thanksgiving dinner.
He wasn't too thrilled with the frog, huh?
I don't know. I think he was more into underdog.
I think probably he's right. How about the chemical composition of frog skins. Did you hear about this where people are licking frogs to get high?
What?
Yeah, it's true. Some people pick up frogs and they lick their back and then it gets them all psychedelic and twisted. If
wow.
I licked your back, would I be... if I licked your back, demented?
Yeah,
not unless somebody...
Back, boy.
Not unless somebody taped like 90 hits of blotter all over my back.
I'm sorry, Kermit, but if Steve starts licking your back, I'm hanging up and I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, that's a little much.
Yeah. The image is going to be one that's burned into my retinas right now for a while.
A glass radio, not TV?
I have a question I always wanted to ask you. You know... And that's, what's life like after having been on the street?
I miss the street. I miss those guys. Those are great guys. Especially the bird. 7-footer. Great guy.
Yeah. Yellow.
Yeah.
It's kind of an odd couple, though, isn't it? The big yellow bird and a small green frog.
No stranger than K-Fed and Brittany.
Yeah, no stranger than the frog and the pig either. And I have to admit.
Hey, go easy.
I have to admit, when I think pig, I think bacon. And that's the only kind of pig I'm interested in, so.
You can't say that around her. She gets all kerflamped.
I'm sure she does. You know, but an apple in the mouth and a, you know, a couple of julienned carrots on the side.
Oh, boy. Oh, golly.
That's definitely the way we'd prefer to see Miss Piggy. She's just not that entertaining. Just not my kind of...
There's nothing quite like pulled pork barbecue. That's all I can say about it.
Oh,
there you
golly.
Go.
I can't tell her any of this.
Going back to that street, you miss those guys. There's another question that I've been wondering about, and that's the whole idea of Bert and Ernie. Now, I know.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Recently. You know, I know recently we actually talked with Sam Clemens about Dumbledore coming out of the closet. And I'm wondering if you think that Bert and Ernie might someday come out of the closet, and wouldn't that be great for kids to see that and realize that, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that?
It's a good idea, except Ernie's straight.
But you're not so sure about Bert, huh?
Well, no, I'm definitely sure about Bert, but Ernie's straight.
So, how do you know about Bert?
Oh, my goodness, purple fingernails.
I had never thought about it that way. We have an exclusive right here on the Countless Screaming Argonauts podcast. I never thought about the purple fingernail.
I tell you, Oscar is the biggest homophobe on the street.
He's just grouchy generally.
You know what I heard, and I don't know how true this is, but I heard that Sesame Street itself has really been gentrified recently over the last couple of years, and that yuppies have kind of moved in and taken over the neighborhood. It's not diverse anymore. They basically went in there. They just made everything condos, and now it's not, you know, it's high-income housing and stuff. Have you heard that,
Kermit? I know it happened. The feds cut the funding for the Children's Television Workshop, and everything went private, and now it's all upscale.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Can you tell me how to get
I think that's
White
terrible.
Street.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
A shame.
So, listen, Kermit. You're among friends here. What's it like to have Jim Henson's hand up your butt all the time?
Yeah, go there. It's not up my butt, okay?
It's
kind of just inside my back.
Oh, okay. Kind of a friendlier thing. He's just scratching your back.
Do you think he licks his fingers?
He has to think of it like that, yes.
Yeah, he probably licks his fingers.
Licks his fingers and gets high after the show, huh?
You guys.
It's all that acid on the inside.
You know, some things are funny.
Yeah. tell me something. Did you... You were on the Muppet Show, too. It was Whitney Street.
Yay!
Which was a more fun show to do?
The Street was there to teach kids. And the Muppet Show was just for fun. Yay!
We like fun.
Yeah.
I tell you, you know what my favorite character on that show was the two old guys up in the balcony. Not that I have anything against you, Kermit, but I love the two old guys in the balcony.
Statler and Waldorf.
Waldorf, yeah. And Statler. They're pretty good. Yeah. They're pretty funny.
Yeah, they were.
For a bunch of octogenarians.
You're not making fun of old people, are you?
For a bunch of octogenarians.
Hey, at least he knows what it means. At least he can say octogenarians.
Right, that means they have eight arms.
With this tongue, some of those words are hard to do, you know?
So, tell me something, Kermit. Amphibian or reptile?
Amphibian.
Yeah. You don't swing both ways. No reptilian?
They're crusty.
Which brings us to another show. Well, I think we hit about most of the high points here in our obviously intellectual conversation with the frog. We'd like to thank you, Mr. Frog.
Yeah, I want to say thanks, and I'd love to say that we'd like to call you back, but I'm not sure. I'm not so sure about that.
All right. Hey, love the Argonauts. Have a great podcast. Love you guys. Happy Turkey Day. See you on TV.
All right. Thanks, Kermit.
Thanks a lot, Kermit. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, the frog. Kermit the Frog.
The frog of frogs.
You know, it's tough to top Samuel Clemens. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Well, you know, finding out that Bert's gay, that does it for me. You know, that was right up there. That was right up there.
Yeah, I totally didn't expect the purple fingernails thing.
No.
I didn't pay enough attention to Sesame Street.
It was for our kids, not for us.
Yeah, it really was.
It really did start. You know, I mean, I had two kids who listened and watched it regularly, but, you know, I can't say that I did.
No.
Although I liked
the
Muppet Show, I have to admit.
Yeah, that was great stuff.
Well,
I'm definitely a bigger fan of the Muppet Show than the Street.
Although if it had an edge like that, if they had actually called it the Street, I'm sure it would have been a better show.
Yeah. The Muppet Show definitely did have an edge. It wasn't like, you know, 8 Mile or anything, but they cracked wise.
Yes, they did. That's absolutely true.
Having everything yet nothing, but not at the same time. What the heck?
Fatang. It's Fatang.
It's Fatang. It's time for Fatang. I think we need to go to Fatang. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we should find out who's got Fatang.
Who's got Fatang?
You know, Fatang is one of those great words. You know,
it's the word
really
of the year,
to get a handle on, though. Yeah, it's kind of tough to get a handle on it.
Fatang is the quality of it. You know it if you have it. You know somebody else has it if they have it. But what exactly Fatang is hard to describe.
So in this segment, what we're going to do is we're going to just draw out some names. You know, I think we just toss them back and forth. And you tell me, or I tell you, whether they've got Fatang or not.
Yep.
You know, be prepared to defend your... Be prepared to defend your... choice.
My Fatangs. I'm ready.
Yep.
The first person I always think of when I think of Fatang is Andy Warhol. And I don't know why, and I know he's dead, but he had something that made him into America. And I don't know, it just popped into my head that Andy Warhol had Fatang. Can you have Fatang when you're dead?
See, I don't think so. I think that, as a matter of fact, you know, I think you can have Fatang for a very, very short amount of time. And I think, you know, Andy Warhol is one of those guys, I think, had it for a short time. Yeah, he was this socialite. But
he had it for 15 minutes.
Right. That doesn't make, you know, that doesn't give you Fatang because you have it for just a few minutes. In my book, it doesn't. It's a quality. Yeah. It's got to be enduring. I mean, part of Fatang.
Does it have to be forever?
No, I don't think it has to be. I don't think it can be forever.
Well, that makes me ask about the next person that I'm thinking of, and I hate to go to obvious celebrity, but what about Lady Di? She probably had Fatang for a while. She seems to still have Fatang. Of course she had Fatang. Look at, people are still watching television shows about her death. 10 years.
Yeah, but people watch television shows about lots of dead people. I mean, E does those biographies all the time about, you know, any last minute celebrity who's died of a drug overdose or whatever. That doesn't give him Fatang just because of that.
Well, you know? but it's not how many people. I think Princess Grace, is that the one? Of Monaco. She had Fatang.
Yep.
I think maybe she still does. I don't know why I'm hung up on the dead people. But Marlena Dietrich. Fatang over the place. She was lousy with Fatang.
Lousy with Fatang. Yeah, that's an interesting way of putting that.
She was filthy Fatang, which is a good thing.
Yeah, but you know, I think that what happens is when you're dead, you just don't Fatang anymore.
You think that's it?
Yeah, I do, you know, because then, you know, if you don't if you're dead, you just don't have it anymore. Other people have it because of you, like Elvis. Elvis had Fatang.
Of course he did. He doesn't have Fatang anymore? People are still
talking
about him? I
don't think so. No, I don't think so. Just because people talk about you, you know, he died, you know, with a donut chocolate around his lips, hugging a bathtub or hugging a toilet bowl, you know, and a drug overdose. That's not the Fatang. So, no,
that's
I don't think he's
Fatang. That's low on the Fatang level, yeah.
Right, but I mean, all those people who are selling the Velvet Elvis pictures and charging you $17 to go into Graceland, and you know, recently I saw a thing that said that Elvis Presley leads all dead entertainers in amount of money made last year. You know, but
there's my point.
That's not a sign of Fatang. That's a sign of some people taking advantage of his name, of his, you know, of his icon class, a celebrity.
Do you have to be a celebrity to have Fatang?
No, I don't think you do, but I think it helps.
I think.
You know?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Are there people in your little corner of Massachusetts that have Fatang that nobody else knows about? There probably aren't.
Well, you know, I mean, just recently there was a news thing about some kid who saved a guy who was in a car crash and pulled him out of the car.
Cool.
You know, I mean, you see stories like that all the time. Wouldn't you say that kid had some Fatang?
Well, he certainly had something great. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not talking about heroism here. I mean, the kid was a hero.
Right. Well, it doesn't have Fatang to be. That's just the first thing that comes to my mind. But no, it doesn't have to just be that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you see kids, you know, a kid who who's 14-year-old who's going to college, or, you know, recently we had an Eagle Scout who did this recycle project where he recycled bees and you know, all this other stuff. That's not a celebrity, but I certainly thought that the kid had Fatang because he was able to put together this whole thing. He must have had 40 people working with him. So
yeah,
at this young age of 17 or 16 or however old he was, you know, kind of leading these kids. Or they weren't all kids. They were adults too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I almost said you can't be an Eagle Scout and have Fatang. There's something particularly un-Fatang-y about Eagle Scouts. But I take it back. You might have a point, because there's some like leadership thing. If people follow you, I guess that's the thing. If people follow you, then you probably have Fatang, even if it's leadership. I mean, Bill Clinton had Fatang. Bill Clinton still has Fatang.
Sure.
No.
Well, we've talked about politicians. What about somebody like Rudy Giuliani, who
Rudy? No, you know,
at 9/11 he had lots of Fatang.
Yeah.
You don't think on 9/11, 9/12, he didn't have plenty of Fatang?
You can't have Fatang with a comb over. There are rules. No comb over Fatang. He got rid of the comb over now. he's definitely a leader, but no, I don't think Rudy's got Fatang. It's Fatang is less about getting something effectively done and more about just kind of wowing people with something intangible.
Yeah, well, so you can say that. But then if you think back to Rudy Giuliani on 9/12 and 9/13, when he's standing down, and believe me, you know, I'm not defending him at all. But on 9/12 and 9/13, there was no better leader than him. I mean, when you saw George Bush down there at Ground Zero, do you think that anybody was moved by his appearance? I don't think so, but Rudy Giuliani people certainly were.
Well,
after the fact, we learn a lot of other things, though, and I'm not sure how that affects his Fatang-ness.
It makes me think about another whole quality here. It makes me think about sports. One of my heroes is Ron Guidry. Great, great pitcher. Had a couple of the best seasons a pitcher ever had. I think he should be a Hall of Famer. But most people say he didn't have the enduring legacy of a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
Can there be Fatang moments? You know, because George Bush, who I would submit does not have Fatang, maybe on the rubble and said, "We're coming after you," or whatever it was he said, might have had a little Fatang there.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point in terms of Fatang. But it wouldn't be him that has the Fatang then. It would be the moment.
No, that's a good point.
You know? And you know, there's another Fatang moment for him, too. And that was 10 days later at Yankee Stadium when they started baseball again.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked out to throw out the first pitch. Do you remember that?
Yep.
And he walked out. I mean, here he is in a bulletproof vest. And he walks out to the mound. And he waves to the mound. And he picks the ball up. And he throws a perfect strike. Perfect. Right down the middle. Perfect strike. And, I mean, the crowd went wild. And it was an uplifting moment for New York.
You know?
And to me, that was a Fatang moment. But I don't think George Bush has Fatang any more than most politicians. I think it's really hard for a politician to have Fatang.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, somebody like
that Bill Clinton does.
I would agree that he has shown some Fatang, yes. I'm not sure. Well,
he's got
oozing, you know, yeah. Right. Yeah. You're right. he definitely, you know, somebody like Barack Obama.
Booth, we have to say what we're laughing about. Booth boy, Bill Clinton spilled his Fatang.
Yes.
which is really pretty much the truth, too.
Yeah, it was. It was. And we know exactly where what it comes down to is we know exactly where he kept his Fatang.
Yes. Far away from his wife, apparently.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, somebody like Barack Obama, he's the kind of guy who has some Fatang for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
But if he does not do well in the presidential primaries and stuff, he's going to lose it. He won't have Fatang anymore. He will just become another casualty of the political process, don't you think?
I don't know. I'm still working on this. I kind of always held to the idea that if you had it, you had it. This notion of temporary right. Fatang intrigues me. Officer. I was under a temporary Fatang. I was under the influence of Fatang. I think I'm going to have to try that next time.
When you start talking about sports guys, players, whatever, you look at somebody like Peyton Manning. Okay, yeah. So he definitely has some Fatang. He goes, wins a Super Bowl, and that boosts his Fatang level up pretty high.
But you know what really boosted his Fatang? Saturday Night Live.
Sure, and those commercials that he does.
Right.
Because it's a crossover. You know, it moves out of the realm of sports accomplishment and into the realm of, the realm of popularity.
So, what about?
Does Tom Brady? Does anybody have more Fatang than him right now?
His team is undefeated. I think we're at the peak of male Fatangness right there. Tom Brady is it, which means, all right, Tiger Woods, that's a good point. Tiger's got a lot of Fatang, too.
Right.
I think you can
but
have
But you know, Tiger Woods is a real quiet Fatang. I mean, he goes out and he does his golf, and he's very, very, I mean, he's the best at it. But he doesn't do a whole lot of other stuff that we see.
Well, he's doing commercials. They did a stupid thing on ESPN about I can't even remember what they called it, but it was kind of the same idea, who has it? And Tiger Woods came out on top.
And he won, right. Yeah. The reason he won is because he was making all that money from endorsements.
But he has a hot wife.
Right. But endorsements are different. I mean, Peyton Manning maybe doesn't make the same money, but his commercials are funny. He pokes fun at himself. He's, a good-looking guy. He's one of the best quarterbacks.
See, I think Peyton Manning is goofy-looking.
Physical sport.
I think Peyton Manning is goofy-looking.
Well, I wasn't saying I wanted to date him. I just said that I thought he was a good-looking guy.
I don't think so. But I agree with you that he has Fatang because he's able to laugh at himself and to get people to pay attention to him. So,
right. Well, Booth Boy also mentioned Derek Jeter. And that's another person who has Fatang. I mean, he's got four World Series rings, his own cologne, millions of dollars in endorsements.
And so he's thrown away more fabulous babes than most guys will ever see in a lifetime.
Right. Getting back just a little bit, just to spend a couple more minutes on this, we're talking about do you have to be famous or do you have to be a celebrity to have Fatang? What about the Taser guy? I mean, he didn't have Fatang before.
Yeah.
He goes to this rally. He ends up getting tasered. I mean, people were running to their computers to register "Don't Tase Me, Bro" as website for whatever reason, And he certainly had Fatang for a very, very short amount of time. There's his 15 minutes of fame.
I got so much joy out of that. It still makes me laugh. "Don't Tase Me, Bro."
Right.
I don't know if that's Fatang, but God, I love it. I think that's great.
Well, I think that if people want to put you on a website or put
you
what
you
said on a website, you've got it. You know,
he had thousands of voltages of Fatang, or maybe it's only hundreds.
What about somebody like the Rolling Stones? Now they certainly had plenty of Fatang for a lot of years.
Yeah.
But are they just like over the hill now and, working off their old Fatang?
Yeah.
I mean,
they're like 60, right? Yeah. Oh, well, I think one of them I just heard was 70? No. Anyway, yeah, I think they shed their Fatang long ago, like a 6-year-old snake.
Right. But what makes them. Now, here's a. The next question, what makes them Fatang less. All right, but somebody like Bruce Springsteen has lots of Fatang. Why?
Well, yeah, I guess Springsteen has Fatang. Again, he's not my Fatangiest, but people like him.
Well, people like the Rolling Stones. They sold out their last concert tour.
Yeah, but
they still write music.
Yeah.
I mean, it may not be their best music, but they're still writing music. What about somebody like Bob Dylan? He just had
I think maybe he has it. I think there's an emotional thing to Fatanginess. I think people just maybe sentimental because Dylan's fans are as old as Stone fans, but
right. He's older or as old as them, but he's right. Got it and they don't.
I think nobody loves the Stones. They like the Stones a lot, but I don't know if they sort of give their heart to the Stones. But I think people kind of romanticize Bob Dylan because he did so much for the culture.
Well, the Rolling Stones did a lot for rock and roll.
Absolutely.
And they did a lot for the United States drug policy, too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a tough nut to crack, you know, this Fatang.
I think it's fun to talk about.
Well, I think we should make it a regular feature because, I mean, we just scratched the surface. There's a million other people that we could ask about whether they have Fatang or not.
We got to check out more Fatangs later. But you think we should move on now?
Yeah, I think we should. You know, word of the week. Last week we had the word Chowdermatic, which I thought was a wonderful word.
Okay, I love the Chowdermatic.
Yeah, Chowdermatic's when you destroy something in order to do research about it or its function. You know, and the story was that these guys found this clam and they killed it, and then they found out that it would have been a ranking clam over 400 years old, and instead they had clam chowder. And so that was Chowdermatic. So this week, I was just
we had an additional word there. What was it? We were talking about that came up out of the bathtub cheese incident.
Oh, the felony cheese making.
Felony cheese making. I'm sorry, I just had to remember that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that was a good one. That was a good one. Don't stop at the felony cheese making. And who would buy that? Who would buy that product?
So you got a new word for this week?
Yeah, I do. I was struck this week because, you know, World Series is over. And so this time of the year is really, really difficult because basketball and hockey are really just starting up. And so there's not a whole lot of things going on there. Balls over. Football only gets played once a week. And so you start at this time of the year seeing a lot of weird things on the traditional sports networks.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you look at and you say to yourself, why would I be watching this particular sporting event? Or is it even a sporting event?
Mm-hmm.
And when I was trying to figure out what it was, I was struck by the fact that shows like ESPN and Fox Sports or Versus put these things on for their entertainment value, not for their sports value, even though they're sports networks. And so in reality, these events are sportsotainment. They're not really sports. They're not really entertainment. They're sort of a hybrid of both of those things.
What things are sportsotainment?
Well, I think a lot of different ones. And I think that kind of leads us right into, at the beginning of the show, we talked about the CSA Scaly thingy. And this is show number 3, and we really haven't got into it. And I think now is the time to do that.
Okay.
Countless Screaming Argonauts was decided on or came to be on a rainy night in Northampton, Massachusetts, when the group of us was sitting in a brew pub, basically, eating and drinking. and talking about going to see They Might Be Giants that night at the Calvin Theater. And we were talking about food and all this other stuff, and we decided that we really needed to have some sort of scale. And we've called it lots of different things. And the more we talked about it, the more we just realized that scale would not only go with foods, it can go with anything we wanted to. And for us, we decided that we were going to take this idea of, and the booth boy is calling up a friend of ours to get him to join this discussion about sport.
Hi-ho.
It's funny, you sound just like Kermit. We're looking for Max. Is this Max?
This is Max.
Cool, Max. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. Now it's Max, the Penguin, and Max.
It is.
We'll never get this straight.
They're very different spellings and very different people.
Right. That's
they
true.
Are indeed. Listen, Max, we're talking about the Pat, are we on Sport Not a
we're
Sport?
We're on the...
Or...
CSA, yeah, that's where we're headed.
Okay, we're kind of mixing the two in.
Right.
Are you familiar with the CSA scaly thinger, Max?
A little bit.
Okay.
All right, well, what we decided to do is tonight we were going to take on the world of sportsotainment. Sportsotainment are the non-traditional events that we see on the sports show networks like ESPN or Fox Sports that really kind of cross that barrier. They're not really sports. They're not really entertainment, but they put them on there together.
Right.
All right. And so what we decided was that we're going to look at and try to decide whether these things that are done are actually sports.
So and we're going to use the method of the CSA Scaly Thinger to decide to make this?
Right. Which is three criteria.
Right.
It's three criteria. The first one is do you win or lose?
Right.
The second one is there a sense of competition, whether it's a high or low sense of competition?
I couldn't get to that, Pat.
Okay. Is there a sense of competition? All right.
Okay.
Is there a sense of competition, whether you use refs versus judges, et cetera? And then the third criteria is do you sweat?
Sweat. Right. I remember that.
Do you sweat? Okay. So then you kind of rate them based on. The first one is whether there's a win or lose, clear winner or loser.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, sense of competition.
Right.
And then do you sweat?
And perspiration.
Right.
Got it.
All right. Basically, you can give a whole point for something for each one of the areas, or you can fractionalize the points.
Okay.
You can lose partial points for whatever reason, you know.
Because you're a Russian judge.
Right. And the issue is that you're not a sport unless you get three stars or three.
No, you have to have the CSA Scaly Thinger is just net positive.
Right.
You don't. It doesn't have to be unanimous. You just have to have more going for you than going against you.
Right.
Okay.
So hit us with a sport, Pat.
Okay. One of my favorites.
I did it again.
Is going to be hot dog eating. All right, every July 4th, ESPN covers the noon hot dog eating contest at Nathan's in Brooklyn, in Coney Island, Brooklyn.
Right.
Is that a sport? Yeah. Sport or not sport? Winner or lose?
I'm thinking.
There's a clear winner.
You win. Yeah.
Definitely clear winner. You eat the most hot dogs, you win.
Kobayashi and Joey, what's his name, this year?
Yeah.
Right.
Brought it back home.
The former Wing King, right? Wasn't he?
I'm not sure. Red, white, and hot dog. You know what I mean?
Right. So then the second one is sense of competition.
All right. Clear.
Well,
See, I don't think it is because this is my point with that. You got a guy who's got a microphone in his hand and he's yelling and screaming to exhort the fans. Okay, and the people are basically just kind of standing there. Yeah,
yeah,
sure, maybe the guy trains, he goes home and he eats a couple of dozen hot dogs every night or gets himself ready in some way for the competition. All right, but
right.
The reality is that the sense of competition is, to me, it's very, very low. All right,
stuff a hot dog.
Right. who ate 66 hot dogs.
Right. No, all but right. I'm so, saying that the by the fact that you have a winner and a loser, or somebody wins, is de facto a competition. There are two standards for the same thing.
Well, I'm not saying, I don't think the rating system. No, go ahead. I was going to say, I don't think the rating.
Go Penguin.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. I'm not saying that there is competition. I'm saying what is the sense of competition.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, if you're in one of those ultimate fighting things, there's a high sense of competition. It's one against one. But if you're one of nine guys who's standing up there in front of a big plate of hot dogs and you're just standing there with your hands across your chest waiting for somebody to say go, and yeah, you're going to eat fast and stuff, but, you know, this guy sitting there eats 8 or 10 and stops. That's not a competition. There's not competition there.
Oh, yeah, you're 100% right on that scale. There's no sense of competition. People right. stand around so, yes, and watch because it's a joke.
Right. So there is a winner or loser, so they get a point on that. Competition, no, they lose a point right there. And then the third one is, do you sweat? And I don't know about you, but I don't think you can stand on a corner in Brooklyn on July 4th and not sweat. Nor do I think you can eat 66 hot dogs without sweating.
I can't eat 66 hot dogs, but if you sweat because of the physical activity generated, see, I say no, that's not a sweat.
Right.
But I want to
I got to agree with the Penguin. I don't think there's anywhere in the Borough of Kings where you can go on the 4th of July and even if your physical activity is limited to chewing and bending your elbow to get the hot dog up to your face, you're sweating, believe me. It may not be competitive sweating, but that you're sweating.
You're sweating.
This works out now with the three of us, because now it's two against one. It's a sport,
right?
All right.
Well,
so
can I jump in with a sport?
Yeah,
sure. Please do.
Bowling.
Bowling.
Well, bowling.
It's funny because we're saying, "Is it a sport?" And then I say, "Can I jump in with a sport?" I want to hear your take on kegglers.
Well, you certainly have winners and losers, right?
Yep. Definitely a sense of competition.
And I think there's a sense of competition. But
I think there's a hell of a lot more competition in Kobayashi than there is in Pete Weber Jr. and the Billy Whalu Lift True. Give me a break. No, there's no competition.
In bowling, of course there is. You're competing against a perfect game.
You rolled the ball on the wood thing. Give me a break.
Somebody once said, if you could smoke a cigar while you're doing it, it's not a sport.
That's great. That's a good point.
Yeah, well, you can also drink a beer while you bowl. And that's that. To me, I mean, it makes it a great hobby, but it doesn't make it a sport.
I say bowling is a sport.
If you're sweating because you're doing that, there's issues there. So
right.
I'm going
well,
negative
on that. Well, you have to admit,
that.
I mean, if you're picking up a 16-pound ball 10 or 12 or 15 times in a row, maybe that would make you sweat. But, I mean, the fact that they got to spray out your shoes kind of indicates that you're probably sweating. But I don't think it qualifies as a sport. I'm sorry.
So now we have two to one against bowling.
Right. So bowling doesn't make it. So hot dog are both gone. They're both gone. So let's jump to another one.
Well,
what about dog shows?
I got one for you.
All right,
dog shows.
No.
There is a competition. Well, we're rolling with dog shows.
All right.
Definitely a competition.
Dog shows?
Dog shows.
You're asking me if the Westminster Kennel is a sport.
Is a sport.
You're phrasing this question.
ESPN does it. ESPN covers it. It's on SportsCenter every single year when they do it.
Hey, what's the E for?
Sports.
No, the other letters for sports. The E is for entertainment. And I will grant that, you know, watching The Hunting Group gives me a Woody, but that doesn't mean it's a sport.
No,
I'm not saying it is a sport. I'm asking, let's go with this criteria and find out if it qualifies.
All right, Scalies. You
know? There's a winner or loser, right? I mean, they hold up
a
dog
winner,
at the
yes.
end, and they say there's a winner. But the sense of competition is very, very low because the dogs
because you can wear a freaking dress while you're doing
right.
it.
Plus, the chicks are all in flats. If they put any of those chicks in high heels, maybe you'd have something going on. They could roll an ankle, you know. But the hemlines are below the knee. It's bad.
There might be a bounce factor with that, too.
It's entertainment for sure. But
dogs don't sweat either. Dogs pant. They don't sweat.
No, and I'm going to submit right now that if any part of your sport involves picking up a dog's tail, it's not a sport. You know.
Thank you, Max, for clearing that up.
I got to say no on the dog competition.
I agree. Let me just add a little to this. I noticed that we had an internet accident.
He Skypified.
Yeah, you weren't the only one. We all melted down apparently. But we're thinking that we were rolling and we'll try to patch it back together. You in?
Yeah.
I am here.
All right. So Steve had said something about picking up a dog's tail. And then what I was talking about was the fact that one thing that I've noticed is that when you have these dog show people and the judges, or these cat show people and the judges, okay, that they all seem kind of weird. I always thought of them as being kind of weird. But then recently on PBS, I saw this show about people who raise and show ferrets.
Oh, my.
And two things struck me. The first thing was that in ferret judging, in these contests, if the judge picks up the ferret and it doesn't bite him, that's considered a good thing. And the other thing was that those people made, the ferret people, made the dog and the cat show people seem like mainstream America. These were the weirdest group of people I've ever seen in my entire life. There was a woman who wrote songs about her ferret. There were people who had entire rooms dedicated to ferrets with these cages that were all attached so the ferrets could go through. There was a woman who said that she couldn't live her day without playing with her ferret at least 4 hours.
Well,
and so
I like
that. Came from you know, to me, that was way, way weird. Way, way weird.
I got two comments. Outside of a pet store, the last place I saw a ferret was at a dead show, and I'm not kidding, it's before I went in, so I know it really happened. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, did you know that they're in worse shape from a diabetes standpoint than middle-aged America? A ferret, like, if you got a ferret, he's going to die of ferret diabetes, and there's little you can do.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow. I wasn't aware of that. And thanks for the downer, Kevin. I mean, it just really...
way to suck the life out of the room there, Mac.
Well, the thing is...
Ferret diabetes just kills the conversation every time.
I love prairie dogs.
You have ferret diabetes of your own.
I'm sorry. I love prairie dogs, and their sworn enemy, you know, you know who kills prairie dogs? Ferrets. Fuck them.
Yeah. All right. I can buy that. I like the Meerkat Manor thing that they do on TV. Have you seen the Meerkat
That's
Manor?
Another weird show. How you could make a soap opera out of a bunch of animals like that. I mean, just That just it's too
I think
much
it's great. I love meerkats. I love the meerkats. And and hopefully they're not all diabetic. I don't know. Are they related to ferrets?
I don't know. Genetically, probably not. But well, listen, Max. Before you were saying that you had a sport, you wanted to try sport or not sport. What was it? I jumped in with dog show. What was yours?
The National Spelling Bee.
Those kids ESPN. Are sweating, let me tell you.
Sport or not sport?
Well, let's see. Do you win or lose? Yeah, there's a winner.
Clear winner.
Right. It's definitely clear. Yeah. So you get one on that. That's a plus.
And
sense of competition? Well, I mean, I've seen those kids give other kids dirty looks and stuff and sit on the edge of their seat. And chewing their fingernails, and then their parents in the audience, they're even worse than the kids themselves. So, yeah, there's probably a some sense of competition.
A 12-year-old with glasses, which I know is stereotypical, but, you know, these 12-year-olds with
say it
glasses
anyway.
And pocket protectors, it's out now. You know, you can't unring that bell. I suppose we could edit it out. Just not inherently competitor-looking. You know,
well,
I'm proud of being a geek. I don't mind. I hope nobody.
I think we should get George Mitchell to investigate the use of steroids in spelling.
In the spelling bee. Yeah,
that could be another criteria. Do you use steroids?
I think
under that sense of competition.
If steroids will help you, then it might be a sport.
Yeah. Under that sense of competition, you know, certainly the roid rage when you're asked to spell floozy or whatever the word might be. I mean,
Constantinople.
Yeah.
Or Timbuktu.
There is a fine movie, really seriously, called Spellbound, made
yes.
a couple of years back. And they followed eight of the kids. And one of them, her father... couldn't even speak English, and he carried his daughter across the Rio Grande into this country. And it went culturally from that end of the spectrum to a girl who was from Greenwich, and she was bummed because bring her au pair to the spelling bee final. So it really ran the gamut from one end to the other. It's a film worth seeing.
My the Publicity Princess particularly liked that movie.
Ah. I need to get a call from her on my cell. It's the earliest possible convenience, by the way, if I can throw that in for our listeners.
Sure.
But she's probably at work right now.
No. No, the Publicity Princess is here. As
oh,
is the
research
right.
girl.
As
I,
is the
they're not
research
the same
girl
person. I forgot who was who. Sorry.
Right. No, they're not the same person.
I gotcha.
Is it appropriate to refer to her as the Penguinette or no? You can't do that.
Well, you could if you'd like. That wouldn't be that wouldn't be bad. I can't even read. Booth Boy just posted the recent spelling winning words, and I can't even I can't even read them or pronounce them. Never mind spell them. Erspratch. Auto Thelonis? Procuriate?
What you two do on your own time behind a bedroom, whatever.
Autochthon. I can't pronounce it either.
I can't even begin. So, I don't know. Boy, I tell you, that would make me break out in sweat.
No,
could you use
sorry.
It in a sentence?
Spell it. She practically bit it off.
Is it Latin? I don't know. Boy, oh boy.
Poco Corante. Serafine. That doesn't sound too unreasonable.
No, that doesn't.
Death and burial.
I can't
instantaneous, resulting in a preserved snapshot of an autochthonous assemblage. That may be compared directly with present-day ecosystems. What the fuck did I just say?
I don't have
I'm reading Booth Boy definition, and not only can I not say the word, I can't understand what I'm reading. It's definitely difficult. I don't know, guys.
I used to think that I was educated right up to that.
Are we leaning towards spelling bee being a sport?
Wow.
No. For no other reason than you can do it with the pocket protector on.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think, Max? So. Did we lose Max?
No, I'm here.
Nope. What?
I say no, not a sport.
All right. That's one we finally found.
So we were able to eliminate three sports-otainment events.
But really,
tonight.
How much attainment is it? I don't want to see the fancy lady lifting the dog's tail. I don't want to see the kid perspiring. I wouldn't mind going bowling, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't watch the hot dog eating. I'm certainly not going to go out of my way to watch the dog show. although I think the spelling bee might be interesting, but I would get really intimidated fast as soon as they got above words that were five or six letters, you know.
Yeah, I used to think I could spell a little bit. And I used to think I had a vocabulary, but I can't even spell these things. I can't even understand them.
Is Boot Boy mic'd up?
No, he's not.
We're working on that.
I was going to see participated as a young...
Yeah,
it would be nice to have a young perspective.
Then we can't record. Yeah, but we're going to see if we can't get that ready for next week.
Yeah, and I think there probably is a way. And if there is, Booth Boy will certainly figure it out.
That's right.
All right. Well, I don't know. Things are kind of dwindling here.
Well, over the hour mark.
Yeah, so. And I think our energy level's kind of fading.
Yep. So I think it's time to put this puppy to bed.
Yeah. All right. You want to make a closing rant there, Mr. Penguin?
I'm not even going to bother. All I'm going to do is just talk real briefly about danger zone. You know, okay. In the danger zone, we talked about things that tip over, things that go from worthy to worthless in news items and stuff. And I saw one this week, and it flipped me out. And I just want to go there and just. It's one sentence. I'm just going to say it, and then we can say goodnight for the night. Okay, and that was that Britney Spears' mother announced that she was going to be penning a child-rearing book. And I just say to myself, because obviously she is an expert, given the great job she did with Britney. You know?
What can you say to that?
What can they add? You know, she's obviously an expert at child rearing. Look at the great job she did. Now, goodbye, good luck, and get out.
And on that note, you know? I have nothing to add to that.
Well, I think we should just say thanks to our production team. Okay, the boy in the booth, research girl, and the publicity princess who appear during the show tonight, certainly. They are a big part of 8 Beer Sampler Productions and an important part of what we do. Thanks a lot. Booth Boy, thank you very, very much. You have made this even more entertaining than usual. Max with the X. Yep, Max with the X, thanks for calling back. We do appreciate having you on.
Thank you very much for having me.
Max with the QZ. As always, it's great talking to you.
As always.
I do want to – let me just say one final thing. Last week when I opened, I referred to you as my cohort, and you chortled.
Yes.
And I thought that you were thinking of some sort of negative connotation to the word cohort.
Well, you stumbled on the word.
At least that's the way it came. Oh, okay. Was that what it was? I thought you thought that it was a negative.
No, you kind of called me a cohort.
Well, I was going to call you a co-host, and then I was going to call you a cohort, because I thought cohort fit better.
Yeah, that's fine. I knew what it meant. I was just giving you a hard time about your pronunciation.
Cool. Pronunciation. Not a problem. Well, thank you, everybody. This was great.
You got to put the emphasis on the right syllable.
Right.
All right. I think I finally killed it. Ladies and gentlemen, good night.
Countless screaming Argonauts is gone for the night.
Cool beans.